This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Free agency is finally almost here. The question is, what difference can it make and what do you want? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I asked that in such an angry way. I'll ask
you really more, were. Like, there was some burn behind that.
Like, what do you want? Yeah, like, what do you want? I feel like the old man at Halloween. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and, of course, on your smart speakers. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. He's obviously Shawn Michaels on Marty Jannetty or Freddie Coleman and Jason Fitz. I'm telling you, the 80s wrestling references are not going to stop on this show. But you're Shawn Michaels because you're the champ, Freddie. That's the important thing here.
Hold on. Bill Dundee, what are you doing here?
Oh, God. Like, we are dating ourselves in every possible way, and I love all of it. We'll get to what the big news is and the concept of what the Knicks are trying to accomplish, but you guys want to chime in, we want to let you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mike in California calling in. Mike, thanks for calling the show. What you got, man?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. Sorry.
No, it's morning for you, afternoon for us. You're right.
Well, good morning, everybody. real quick, what Knicks front office has done to the Dallas Mavericks over the last two seasons, unloading Porzingis and then basically outbidding for Jalen Brunson, incredible. Not used to it. But I do have a question in feedback from you and I guess everybody else listening. I was trying to think, when's the last time we made a big splash and got a decent point guard for our team? And point guard is one of the most important positions on any NBA team. I thought Stephon Marbury might be the last person that we signed as a good point guard. Now think about that. Stephon Marbury? What the hell have we been doing for the last 20-something years? How many drafts have we been through? We couldn't find a point guard. And now Brunson makes a splash, and I'm here for it. I think he's going to be really good. But we didn't have a point guard for over two decades. I'm talking Derek Harper. Shout out to him. I'm talking Charlie Ward. Last point guard we drafted that was anywhere decent. I mean, that's stunning to me. And
Mike, I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Freddie. Look, I think he makes a valid point. Look,
completely.
We talk about this in every sport, though. Like, there are some organizations that just don't draft certain positions well, right? Like, in football, how many times do you say, man, why can this team never get the offensive line right? Why can this team never get wide receiver right? Well, if you're the Knicks, it's just you just continually missed over and over and over again.
And think about it, because Stephon Marbury, he wasn't drafted. They got him from the Minnesota Timberwolves because the Timberwolves drafted him first, and he did not want to be in Minnesota anymore. And they've been able to try to pitch and patch with point guards. Raymond Felton one time. He mentioned Charlie Ward. He was in the backcourt with Chris Childs for a little bit with the New York Knicks. How many times have we seen the Knicks organization either fall just short, they missed out on Steph Curry because they were going to draft Steph Curry, but Golden State got to him. Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio got drafted surrounding Steph Curry from the Minnesota Timberwolves before the Knicks' turn was to draft. No matter what has gone on, they always seem to try to be the smartest organization in the room, and they always wind up with the dunce cap in the corner. Prime example, Phil Jackson. They signed him to 5 years, $60 million, and $12 million bucks per year. And I said, what a waste of a contract. And when he drafted Kristaps Porzingis, people lost their mind. I said, you realize Kristaps Porzingis is going to be here a lot longer than Phil Jackson. Well, what happened? Kristaps Porzingis was there a lot longer than Phil Jackson because he wasn't a guy that could build a team as a GM, even though he has 11 championships. That's been the hallmark of this organization. When they try to do things and make the right move, they always seem to choose the wrong guy. They always seem to make the wrong decision or something that turned to be a terrible result, which could have been the right decision. And unfortunately, the New York Knicks, that's why they overpaid for Jalen Brunson. The market bored, they were willing to pay it. His dad's an assistant coach. At least his dad doesn't have his son for money anymore because his son's got that kind of money. But those things only seem to happen to the New York Knicks.
See, the problem here, like, I watch a lot of Bar Rescue and Kitchen Nightmares and those sorts of shows, right, Fred? Like, I love them, right? And when you look at it, you figure out top-down leadership, right? And so when you start talking about what organizations do well and what they don't do well, it's like a restaurant. You got to have a good GM that knows to hire a good chef. And then the good chef has got to know to go to the right food company to get good ingredients. And then they've all got to be able to maximize all of it. And then, by the way, the person running the front of the house needs to know how to make sure that the everybody's being seated at the right time so that the food comes out right. Like, all of these things happen at once. And while we put a lot, and I put a lot on the draft, particularly in the NBA.
Sure.
I think this goes back a little bit to our Golden State conversation earlier, though. Like, you start talking about what we saw with Andrew Wiggins. He was supposed to be a bust until suddenly he went to an organization that was like, no. We know how to utilize him. Like, you've got to look at the entirety of the way organizations are built. It's not the GM. It's not the coach. It's not the assistant coaches. It's not the owner. It's not any one of those things.
Yeah.
It's all of those things. And they have to work together. And that's what, like, that's hard to figure out. Like, if it were simple to find every one of those things that could work together, every team would do it. And that's just, it's virtually impossible. So it's rare to see sustained success because of it.
We go to the crux of that, because remember when Carmelo Anthony was with the New York Knicks, and Phil Jackson, when he took over the Knicks, said, you know what, Carmelo Anthony does not fit what we do. He was steadfast in that. And you would be led to believe that, okay, they're going to move on from that because they're going to run a triangle offense, and Carmelo Anthony, that triangle offense kind of player. Well, what happened? They signed Carmelo Anthony to a max deal. And I said, that makes absolutely no sense. If you're going to go forward and start over, you're going to have a guy that's a great scorer and a proven scorer, but can't do what you want him to do in that kind of offense. But then they signed a max deal anyway, and then they had the nerve to be surprised when things didn't work out. That's been a hallmark of the New York Knicks. They always seem to be surprised when they have a chance to make the right move. They make the counter move or the wrong move, and they are DOI, definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, Jason, and expecting different results when the same old hamster in the wheel happens to them all the time.
I don't think at some point sports organizations are that much different than business. Like, you need clarity and understanding in what you're trying to accomplish and how you're trying to accomplish this. And I say this all the time. Like, I am really proud of the work that I did as a fiddle player. I think, you know, for the style of music that I played at the time that I was doing it,
right,
I was one of the best doing that. I strongly believe that. I also know that if you put me in a bluegrass band, I'd be terrible because that's not the type of music that I played.
Right.
And so you have to look at it at some point and say, what type of music are we trying to make and what type of players are we trying to get here to do it? And I don't care whether that's, you know, a basketball team or a football team. Synergy comes from understanding of what you're trying to accomplish and how you're trying to accomplish it. And until you have that and everybody's working towards one common goal, we put all this weight on the players that are busted. I genuinely believe it's organizational disarray that causes us to get to this spot.
And when you're James Dolan, the owner of the New York Knicks, his middle name is Disarray. Because that's exactly what has happened, because he's allowed his dysfunction to affect the function of the New York Knicks time and time again. And the fan base gets more and more frustrated, saying, why am I supporting this team where it seems that you can't get this right? And the one time that in the last 30 years you were able to get it right, you ran Pat Riley out of there. But Pat Riley said, you know what? I'm not going to be part of this organizational structure. He couldn't wait to get out of there. He goes to the Miami Heat. Same thing with Jeff Van Gundy. They had a quality coach, and James Dolan got too involved in day-to-day operations and Gulf and West. And he said, you know what? Deuces, I'm out of here. It seems that when they have the right people in place, they don't keep them. They don't give them a reason or desire to stay there to continue to make things right and have that continuity that has not been part of the New York Knicks.
Yeah, Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. He's Freddie Coleman. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys want to chime in? We'll let you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Scott in New York. Thanks for calling the show. Scott, what you got, man?
What's up, guys? First, Fred, let me just tell you something. I'm a guy, an old guy, grew up in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, with the Bernard King family.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about the old regime. Give the Knicks some credit. They are making some changes. We knew when they got the new regime, everybody knew this wasn't going to be overnight. We looked at this, going to see 3 to 5 years, if not more. But the bottom line, they are making some changes. Brunson is going to be okay for us. He's going to help Julius, and he's going to help RJ. You have to overpay a little bit, but they're making some moves. We got all of the first-round picks, as your colleague said earlier, Canty. for the next couple of years. So they're making some moves. So, I mean, in the background, I mean, you're talking like we're still back in the old regime and we're making all those stupid moves. We're not getting the old beat-up players anymore. They're going with the youth. So give them a break. And this is like, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and I'm willing to wait.
Scott, I'm just like you. I'm a diehard Knicks fan. But, you know, I've seen this time and time again with the Knicks organization where they make these moves, and they don't turn out. Believe me, I don't want the Knicks to continue to stink. But until I see something actually different from what they've done in the past, because I'm a big believer that past events can result in new results when it comes to the New York Knicks. So I want to believe that World Wide West and the West are going to do so much better with this basketball team and this basketball organization. And of course, I'm willing to give Jalen Brunson a chance. And I understand the market's going to bear when it comes to $25 million per for Jalen Brunson. But how many times we've seen the New York Knicks overinflate expectations when they get somebody? Julius Randle has a terrific last year, and they paid him like a superstar, and he's not a superstar. This is supposed to be RJ Barrett's team, and I hope that they wait to give him this kind of contract to be the alpha dog that you're going to need. But you overpay for Jalen Brunson because of the mistakes of the previous regime that led you into this situation. So I hear you when you say give them a break. I've been giving the New York Knicks a break since 1973, the last time they won an NBA championship. I'm a typical Knicks fan like you. I'm tired of waiting for breaks. At a certain point, when you see other people in your corridor like Philadelphia and Boston getting better and you keep retreating, those things grow real old real quick with the New York Knicks as a fan.
Price of proximity is a phrase that Michael Jr. used to always use when we worked on college football. And sometimes it's about, like, what are you paying to just keep yourself in the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between price of proximity and trying to accomplish sustainable success, I think, in the NBA. And Freddie, to your point, you know, we all know what it likes. I know what it's like as a Raiders fan to watch my team be terrible year in,
right,
year out,
mm-hmm,
and year. And then you get to the point where you're like, man, I just want us to be competitive. I just want to be in the conversation. Then you get to the conversation and you got to look around at the landscape and say, okay, what does it take for this team to be better, for this team to get better? All I think both of us are saying to everybody calling in about the Knicks is that at some point Jalen Brunson makes you better, but Jalen Brunson doesn't make you great. Like,
right,
there's no two ways, and you're going to have to overpay for Jalen. That's what. And we heard that earlier when we were talking about it, that the market value for him most years would be 18, 19. This year it'll be 25. Donovan in Virginia. Donovan, thanks for calling the show. What you got?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, as a Raiders fan, hey, like you said, man, you had to be patient. You know what's coming, man. But as a Lakers fan, man, the Knicks, I got y'all, man. Knicks fans, I got y'all. Y'all made chess moves on draft night. Y'all going to trade those draft picks and Julius Randle with Deontay Murray, man. Deontay Murray, Jalen Brunson, and R.J. Barrett, man.
That's all
I got, man.
Those are three nice players, and as a Knicks fan, I'll play along. Uncle Freddie will play along, my man from Virginia. Let's say those nice players develop into better players. Well, they're going to have to, because in modern basketball, you need killers more than ever before. I look at teams that contend for championships, and I know who the killer is. I look at Golden State, it's Steph Curry. When the Lakers get right, I know it's LeBron James, if they get right. If the Clippers stay healthy, I know it's Kawhi Leonard. With the Brooklyn Nets, I know it's Kevin Durant and or Kyrie Irving, no matter what kind of genie in a bottle situation is happening with Kyrie Irving. You look at the New York Knicks, and you can't just have nice players being your best players. Jalen Brunson left the killer called Luka Doncic with the Dallas Mavericks. I know what that looks like. So, yeah, you can put nice players together, but one of those guys better develop into either an alpha and or killer. You can have nice players, but nice players are supposed to be Robins. They're not supposed to be Batmans. And the Knicks have too many of Robins right now to make a difference to the level that they want to in the Eastern Conference.
I love the analogy, Freddie. He's Freddie Coleman. I'm Jason Fitz. And for the guys, I'm Barton Hahn. I love the analogy partially because, like, now, okay, you need a killer. How do you find one? There's two ways. You can get lucky in the draft, and hey, one gets, and I do mean lucky because
absolutely,
I think the NBA draft is so much more a luck-based thing than most drafts. You can get lucky in the draft, or you have to identify the guy and go for him in free agency. You got to know, like the Clippers did when they realized they needed Kawhi. Nothing was going to work until they got Kawhi. The opposite end of that spectrum, as we mentioned before, is Memphis saying, hey, Ja Morant's our guy. Like, Ja Morant becomes that killer. Now you can build around. But to your point, you can have all of these other best supporting actors. Until you've got the guy that's actually carrying the movie, you're done. And, and I don't, like, I think Jalen Brunson has a really great chance to be a best supporting actor.
Sure.
That's not enough to move them ahead of, like, right now, if we take everything breaks right, that doesn't move you ahead of Boston. It doesn't move you ahead of Miami. It doesn't move you ahead of Philadelphia. It doesn't move you ahead of Milwaukee.
Because it doesn't move you into the playoffs.
Yeah. And that's the real, like, I think Uncle Freddie and I are just giving a little, Uncle Freddie is what we're going to go with now. Uncle Freddie and I are just giving you a little bit of, like, real talk. And then we're just giving you a little bit of honesty. Jay in the Bronx, thanks for calling the show, Jay. What you got?
All right, first, DeJounte Murray and Brunson don't fit together. They're too slight of built. Jalen Brunson is too small to be a point guard for the Knicks. He's a scoring guard. What the Knicks need to do is get Colin Sexton, Mo Bamba, and Gary Payton Jr. or Victor Oladipo. They need to sign those three people. They need to think cheap, young, and talented. Not overpay for a guy who's a scoring guard. And he's not going to help R.J. Barrett because R.J. Barrett wants to score as well. So does Julius Randle. The fit does not make sense.
Jay, I love the call.
Amen.
One thing I'd say, Freddie, is that nobody in the world knows the skill set of Jalen Brunson better than the Knicks, right?
Right.
I mean, when you start thinking about the fact that, you know, obviously the organization knows him from birth, his dad's on the coaching staff. If there's anybody that should know the fit, like there, I said last year that the minute that the 76ers acquired James Harden, I'll never accept an excuse because nobody knew James Harden better than that organization when
no
they acquired
doubt.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
If Jalen Brunson isn't very, very good, I'm not talking elite, but very, very good for the Knicks, a bunch of people are going to get fired because nobody knows Jalen Brunson better than that organization.
Yeah, when you got your dad's assistant coach and knows your game and can hopefully manifest itself to the NBA level to what the Knicks are expecting, you're exactly right. But here's something else, another problem with the New York Knicks that nobody wants to talk about, but we have to realize this. They're not a destination for free agents. Top flight free agents go somewhere else. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant banded together, and they didn't say, let's go to the New York Knicks. They said, let's go to Little Brother's house. The steak is better over there. The accommodations are better when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets. Giannis Antetokounmpo, if he decided to leave Milwaukee, I guarantee you the Knicks were not on his list. When Jimmy Butler won out of Minnesota and moved his way to Philadelphia, then became a free agent again, where did he want to go? Not to the New York Knicks. Same thing with Kawhi Leonard. He became a free agent to the Toronto Raptors. Where did he rather would have gone to the Clippers, who are going to Clipper, more than the New York Knicks. That's a problem for Knicks fans, and you hate to hear the truth, but here it is. Until this organization becomes a destination for a high-quality free agent, or you can swing a trade for a guy that's a high-quality guy that wants to come there, you're just going to find nice players and hope to put nice pieces together. I want nice players, too, but I want somebody that has teeth in their mouth, not gums, when it comes to winning a championship and being that lead dog in the NBA and the Eastern Conference. And right now, the Knicks got a lot of dogs that have gums in their mouth and not enough teeth to cause enough bite for their bark.
You can't tell me, Freddie, that a free agent right now wouldn't run, sprint to Memphis before they just walk to New York.
Yep.
Like they would, I'm just being real, y'all. Like
you are.
People would rather play with Ja in Memphis than play at the Garden with the Knicks.
Absolutely.
Every single day of the week in the modern NBA culture. Michael in New York, thanks for calling the show. Michael, what you got?
Hey, how's it going? So I'm hearing all these rumors coming around. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, by the way. And
appreciate
I'm
you.
Hearing all these rumors of everyone going for Murray on the Spurs and the Hawks literally offering almost dirt for them, just picks We just got picks. We cleared cap space. Why can't we go for Murray? And I think we got a little bit of these rose-colored eye glasses, and we fell in love with Brunson. Why settle to pay so much for Brunson, which I feel like Doncic kind of made him his breakout year a little bit. Yeah, he's a point guard, and yeah, he's averaging 5-6 assists, and Doncic takes it away from him. But who's to say he's going to pop out as much as Murray on the Spurs really has proven he's a true point guard, and he's got skill, talent.
I mean,
I love the one help at the end. Help.
I'm looking here at the most recent report I can find from Spurs Talk on Twitter that the Hawks took a stab at it, reportedly offering 3 future first round draft picks, likely protected, and forward John Collins. But that wasn't enough to make the Spurs bite. And there are more teams interested. I think this comes back to, again, like we just said, the organization's comfortable with Brunson. They know him.
And absolutely.
That matters in this money being spent.
Well, if you're going to be comfortable with that guy and you believe in him, and I get it, at $25 million, that's a hell of a lot of faith and belief. I don't know if I have that kind of belief. But then you better make him better. At $25 million, it can't just be he's a run-of-the-mill guard. If I'm bringing in Jalen Brunson, I'm expecting a guy that can be a potential 20-10 guy, meaning 20 points and close to 9-10 assists per game. Now, we'll see if Jalen Brunson can do that. If he's able to do that, I don't mind being the first person, Jason, to say, I was a fool about that. I'm glad it worked out. I'm not wishing ill will on my basketball team to make me look right. I want to be completely wrong about the New York Knicks constantly, but they keep proving me right, and it's driving me insane. I don't want to be right about this organization anymore in terms of the way they go about things on a day-by-day basis. If Brunson's able to do that, and elevate his game, and elevate R.J. Barrett, and elevate Julius Randle, now we got something. Now we got a potential alpha dog. If he's not able to do that, the Knicks are going to be a nice team, winning 42, 43 games a year, losing the first round of Philadelphia 76ers. They'll fire Tom Thibodeau, bring in somebody else, and then it's the same old that we've seen time and time again in the last 20 years of this team.
It also should be pointed out, Murray from the Spurs would require a trade. And the same thing I keep saying when we keep looking back at Jaden Ivey. You can offer Detroit whatever you want. You can go in and offer a king's ransom for them to give up on Jaden Ivey. But if they don't want to,
they're not going to. Getting him. Exactly.
And if Pop doesn't want to give up on Murray, he's not going to. And frankly, if Pop does want to give up on Murray, if one of the best basketball minds in the NBA is ready to walk on a player,
something's wrong.
I mean, that's the other part of this equation we have to remember. You guys can keep chiming in. We'll let you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And so many of you want to get in, we'll let that happen next. Plus, a cheesy story that cannot be ignored. We'll tell you about it next. Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio. Freddie Coleman, Jason Fitz sitting in for the guys.
Bart and Hunt.
You doing something so perfect and so delightful that small is suddenly huge. That's called a tease. It's Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Freddie Coleman, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys. By the way, some big NBA news just came across the board. The NBA salary cap for the 2022-2023 season projected to come in right around $123.6 million. Sources said that is a more than $11 million jump from last season. So I feel like everybody's sitting there now looking at the paperwork. Freddie's saying, okay, can I get a little extra? Little extra change on this?
Yeah, hold on a second. Yeah, Kyrie. You want to rescind that? Well, hold on. But have you put the paperwork in yet? No. Well, then I guess you can do what you want. Yeah, we may be expecting news from Kyrie any day now about that whole opting in with the Brooklyn Nets at $39.5 million.
I think Bart would call that more cheese on the taco.
Yes, that extreme cheese.
Speaking of both cheese and tacos, well, I don't know if you guys have seen that. What a transition. But they are now, Cheez-It has now decided to make available a taco that's part of a Taco Bell delight that is 16 times bigger than a regular Cheez-It. It's a massive Cheez-It. It is a 16-inch Cheez-It.
Okay.
Freddie, I've done a show every year for college football sponsored by Cheez-It. Reaction. I am a Cheez-It aficionado. If you can give me a massive Cheez-It, I'm going to eat it. Like, it feels like now I can say, hey, guys, I just had one Cheez-It. Like, I didn't break my... I just had one Cheez-It.
My question is, how big is this box?
It's actually huge.
Seriously, because Cheez-Its usually come in a box and there are a whole bunch there. You can get a lot of bang for your buck when it comes to how much you can fit in your hands. So if this is that kind of circumference that you're talking about, Mr. Fitz, I want to know how big this box is that's going to be satisfactory to your Cheez-It delight.
We shot a Cheez-It commercial at one point in Mike Golick Jr.'s garage because it was COVID, right? So we had to do it in a safe space. So
right.
We were in his garage. And there was a scene where they told me to throw Cheez-Its in the air. And I threw so many in the air that, you know, when he years later went to sell that house, there were still Cheez-Its in the garage door opener. But the other part of that is that when I left that day, I just left thinking, all right, all the Cheez-Its were used.
Uh-huh.
Turns out my guy kept, you know, dozens of boxes of Cheez-Its in his garage that he just held there forever and didn't share with me. So, you know.
Wow. Some friend.
Like, I know, but now all I need to say is I got one box. Like, if you put four Cheez-Its, four 16-inch Cheez-Its in a box, I feel like we've got a deal. Are you into supersized foods, Freddie?
It depends on what it is. Now, if it's something supersized that's like cake, then yes. You know, although if they have a supersized chicken and a biscuit, they might have me at hello.
Just like a whole, like, massive, like, rotisserie sized chicken.
I'll tell all my secrets. I'll be like, I got dreams. You want them to? I'll tell you all you need to know. If they supersize like chicken and a biscuit, that's going to be the end for me. Literally. I promise you that.
I was telling Stosh as we were getting ready for the show today, producer extraordinaire, you know, you think about when you and I grew up, Freddie, mm-hmm. like cake. If somebody in your neighborhood made cake, it was a little one layer cake. It was cute. Like you'd eat it. It was fine. Like it was good, right? Mm-hmm. One layer cake was sort of the norm. Uh-huh. Now you walk into a restaurant and you're like, I'll have the Death by Chocolate 13 layer cake. Like we've already supersized cake, which I'm all in for. Well, you know, I just, you know, I like big slices.
Well, see, and we like big slices and we cannot lie when it comes to that. in my family, though, we never did the one layer thing. It was always double layer. For example, my Aunt Lucy Bell, who lives in Springfield, Massachusetts, she always made a double layer caramel icing cake every Thanksgiving. And believe me, it'll make the angels weep and bring you to your knees. But it was never, ever single layer. That's not what we do in our family. So believe me, if Death by Chocolate is now a delicacy, that started on the Coleman and Beaton families that I come from involving my mom and dad, because everything was never a single layer cake.
That's fair. And this is where Harry Douglas always looks at me and laughs and says, culture, man. It's just cultural difference. You know,
it really is. One's better than the other. It's just different.
No. More cake is better than less cake. Like Christine Lisi, who does great work for ESPN, you guys know.
Speaking
like
of Death by Chocolate.
You talk about like death by anything she makes. Like anything mm-hmm. she makes is going to be, but her desserts are all sort of supersized, right? Like mm-hmm. it's always a big cookie. It's always a big piece of cake. Like mm-hmm. everything is just, it's perfect and it's huge. And I'm in for it. You know, I think like bigger is better.
Yeah. And by the way, when Christine Lisi makes something and all the people who work there know this, they know I'm telling the truth, get there early. Because if you don't, crumbs will be left, and it won't take long.
The wrappers are on the table. Only the wrappers are left on the table.
Not even then. I think I've seen a couple of people work for us, like, take the wrapper and licking it as they're walking away from the crime scene.
I mean, Lisi treats are just a staple of ESPN Radio.
Yep.
I mean, you can't go up there and not expect to see a treat on the table out there.
Yeah, and when you do, crumbs.
But you're right. There's entire group threads. I don't even know if she knows this exists. It'll just be pictures of what she's got in radio that
day. Absolutely.
And then we're all like, okay, I'm planning my entrance a little early. I got to get to work early so that I can eat whatever she's put on the table. Like I work my splurge day around that when I'm trying to eat.
Oh, that's when you do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You pay for that on the splurge day with Christine Lisi, don't you? It's like a couple of days residual.
It's worth it. Like, I'll spend an extra hour on the treadmill to do that all day.
You and me both.
Every day. There's no question about that. Jeff in Jersey, I know you want to chime in. A bunch of you guys want to chime in, but we want to talk about Cheez-Its, so you're just going to have to wait your turn. Jeff in Jersey, what you got, man? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Freddie, you are a true Knicks fan because you hit all the points. You know what I mean? Because the Knicks always, the old regime was always proving us right. And inflating average players. Now, I just want to say,
mm-hmm.
If he's coming, we're just gonna have to suck it up and hope that he tears up this year,
sure.
coming year. But I also want to just add, please do not touch Cam Reddish. That man is nice, and to help the recruiters, and I'm gonna go after this to help the recruiters. Search Jesse Filet-Jones. He is the best alpha point guard right now.
Okay.
Jesse Filet-Jones. Recruiters, go get him.
Okay. Sounds good. I love when people recruit over the air because not NCAA violation to do that. So well done by Jeff in Jersey.
Yeah, no doubt. But Jeff in Jersey reminds me of the other thing that's maddening about you Knicks fans, Freddie.
Okay.
You guys even have to feel special in your suck. Like, at some point, what you just described is what every bad team does.
Uh-huh.
You overpay for mediocre talent.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times I saw my beloved Raiders give out historic amounts of money mm-hmm. to players that barely, D'Angelo Hall gets on the field for 8 games and then he's cut after he gets a massive contract. Like, Larry Brown wins an MVP in the Super Bowl. So what do the Raiders do?
Yep.
They give him asinine levels of money, and then it doesn't work out. Like, this is what mediocre teams do, and the Knicks have been mediocre for so long that y'all want to feel like it's special.
Yeah.
It's not. You're just medium.
Yeah, by the way, and the trampoline off of that, Jason, mediocre organizations in big markets because of the fan base. Because how many times have we seen, whether it's been the Knicks, the Lakers before they got good again, even teams in other sports, your Raiders, for example, Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees. If you're a certain organization, a big-time organization, a big-time city, I wonder how much do they really try to, okay, you have to be patient, but they know the fans don't want to wait. And Knicks fans are tired of being patient. And I thought our man in Jersey who gave us the call, he said it correct in terms of, yeah, this is what you have to do with Jalen Brunson. You can hope he's going to be better. But when you're an organization like this that time and time again overspends and it's not a top-shelf vodka, Instead of getting stolen Grey Goose, you get the Boone's Farm from the job lot. When you spend that kind of money for that, you can't expect those kind of results. Hoping and wishing is not exactly the right kind of page you should be on. But time and time again, the New York Knicks have been a part of that. You wonder when things are going to change. And maybe Jalen Brunson can override that. We'll see. But these things seem to happen every 4 or 5 years that we're having the same conversation about the New York Knicks trying to get this right.
Speaking of results, we're seeing results right now in Major League Baseball that could lead to history. One man almost halfway there. We'll tell you what it means for the sport next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Freddie Coleman, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Barton Hahn. Freddie Coleman, Jason Fitz in for the guys. By the way, our board op, Devin Kane, yesterday was his birthday. So
yeah.
Feel free
DK
to
Money
tweet K. him a little happy birthday love at yeah. Devin Kane. That's yeah. the way you yeah. get to Devin. And, you know, send him something. He deserves something.
Happy birthday.
Maybe a massive Cheez-It or something.
Thank like, you. Gonna,
well, there you go. Now you're going to break the bank on that one. There you go.
Yeah. Now get it yourself. But, you know, he can get himself a massive Cheez-It. Charles in Ohio calling the show. Charles, thanks for hanging out with us. What you got, man?
All right, this is what I got for you guys. First of all, you guys are doing 80s reference of tag teams. We're going to go at the Hart Foundation with you guys. Freddie okay. Coleman, I'm
nice.
A huge fan. This is what James Dolan needs to do. Sell the team. Just sell the team. Sell it to Spike Lee. Let Spike and Oprah get together. Hire Charles Oakley. Get John Starks in there. Just sell the team. Because, like you said, you know, he's just... Be a owner. Just do the right thing. Listen to your people. If you got the wrong people, just sell the team. Let Spike take over. And then hire Stephen A. Smith just to yell at everybody. That's what they should do.
Charles, I appreciate the ambition on it. Unfortunately, yes. It's never going to happen. Like, he's making money on this thing. Like, if you're rich and you're making money,
uh-huh.
you ain't going to stop making money. Like, nope. Freddie, that's a part of it. Like, if you're taking that cash in, why would you stop?
Charles Dolan knows. That James Dolan, excuse me, Charles was dad. James Dolan knows that his team is worth over $5 billion. And they're not even the New York Knicks of being a championship quality team. The New York Rangers are the champions in that building, and they're nowhere worth near what the New York Knicks are. The common denominator when it comes to those two is that they make him a lot of money. He wants the Knicks to win to increase his value. But he also is not going to lessen their value, and he knows exactly what that value is, not just in the NBA, but in professional sports.
He also knows that everybody will keep talking about his team. Orlando mm-hmm. in New York. Orlando, what you got?
Yeah, so I've been a huge Knicks fan since back in the days. Our problem is every time we have a great, let's say a GM, like the last time we had a good GM was Donnie Walsh, I would say. He went against... verbatim, he didn't want Carmelo Anthony because Carmelo Anthony was going to be a free agent the following year. Yet, Dolan comes in and he was like, sell the house, let's get this guy. Even though everybody knew he was still going to come to New York. He wanted New York. That was the rumors. We traded everybody and their mothers to get Carmelo Anthony. It's like,
Well, we lost him there. Sorry about that, Orlando. Thought we had you, but Freddie, yeah. No easy solution to all of it. Like, I think we all understand the problems. There's just, at some point, the cycle has to break, and I'm not sure what breaks it.
They don't want to take the time to rebuild because they believe in New York City. They can't afford to, and that continues to be a problem for the New York Knicks, whether we like it or not.
Bart and Han.
Another day, another home run for Aaron Judge.
Mm.
And we get closer and closer to a historic opportunity. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Freddie Coleman, Jason Fitz, in for the guys. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And don't blink, Aaron Judge got 29 dingers on the season.
Yeah.
And at some point, you got to look around and say, okay, 29, and we're not even to the hot dog eating contest, which, by the way, you should watch on ESPN. I'll be sideline reporting again.
Oh,
we're not even to the hot dog eating contest. And we got 29 home runs. Like, Aaron Judge is sitting on the precipice of opportunity to do historic things. And maybe that's the elixir that baseball needs right now, Freddie.
I certainly hope so. But it was funny because a lot of people don't want to realize the fact that records don't mean as much to the younger fan as they used to. And baseball is always about numbers and records. This couldn't have happened, for example, back in the 90s, even early 2000s. You have somebody playing for the biggest organization in the world, the biggest franchise in the world, and he's doing this with 29 home runs. We're not even at July 4th when it comes to the New York Yankees, and now the chase for 61 is going to begin. I think he'll fall a little short at 58, but that's still a massive number when you hit 58 home runs and you hit 52 home runs, Aaron Judge in his rookie season. But it used to be those kind of things would resonate with fans, especially depending on the organization you played for. Now it seems those numbers are just fodder, and that doesn't help a numbers-based sport when it comes to Major League Baseball.
You know, it's interesting when you make that comparison because I think back to, for me, as I acknowledged earlier, not a huge baseball lover day in and day out, but I think back to watching Sosa McGuire go after the record.
Right.
And at the time, everywhere you were, every TV cut into every at-bat. It was so significant, and it felt significant because you'd never seen this, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
There was an opportunity for history, and even in the way the world has changed now, when you're seeing once in a lifetime, it feels like it can still resonate. But you're right, in a world where individual numbers aren't what they used to be, and frankly, we're at a spot where people find so many different numbers to support whatever theory sure. they have, it becomes tougher and tougher to resonate. Aaron Judge, though, you know, you're talking about a marketable name, as dumb as that sounds, but like that matters,
mm-hmm.
on a marketable team with the Yankees, and a marketable, you know, he's a good looking guy, right? Like you combine all of these things to going for a record. It feels like if this can't captivate America, then what can, right? Like, because at some point, there's got to be a draw.
That's a great question in terms of, because baseball on the surface, Jason, is not a captivating sport. More than ever before in short attention span theater that we all live in the 21st century, if things take too long, people will allow their allegiance or allow their attention span to go somewhere else. They're not just going to sit and watch a baseball game. We're not even talking about 9 innings. I'm talking about even 3 innings. That if something is not going on early, it's not going to hold people's interest. I think that's why we saw a little bit of a bump up when it came to the NHL and the playoffs. Because even if no scoring is happening, something's going on. There's an odd man rush. Goalie makes a great save. There's a big hit in the middle of the ice. Guys are, you know, face washing each other with gloves. Always something was going on, even though it was a game that was not a 9-8 game in the Stanley Cup. And the ratings reflected that on ESPN, ABC, and TNT. With baseball, a lot of people love a 1-0 game. But for the average fan now, 1-0 signals boring because there's nothing going on. Nobody's stealing a base. Nobody's making a great play. And those are the kind of things more than ever before that really baseball can't control because that's not a hallmark of what baseball has been.
When you think about media, even the area that we work in, you know, radio works in long form, right? Like we get the mm-hmm. opportunity to hang out with you guys and have long conversations with each other. And then you think about the way TV works and Freddie on, you know, First Take this week, you see him there all week. You'll notice that he's got to get his points out even faster on TV because it's a different audience. And
yep.
then I think about like SportsCenter on Snapchat. And when I host that show, they tell us that we have 3 to 4 seconds to either catch the audience or not catch the audience.
Absolutely.
So you think about the difference generationally when you start talking about young kids they want action every 3 to 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do? That's why, to your point, at least in hockey, everybody's moving together in a way that you can see and you can understand. The NBA does really well digitally for people, you know, because of that same reason. I wonder what, if anything, can ever be done to really take a sport that's meant to be calculated and yep. that is meant to be sit in the ballpark, you know, enjoy, you know, a beer and some peanuts with your friends and watch a baseball game. That doesn't translate to new media particularly well, and that's going to be a challenge that I don't know that baseball really has a workaround for.
And the one thing, and I thought about this, Jason, to your point with the College World Series, it was so much fun watching that. It did. I know Ole Miss had the great run because they were the last team in and last team standing. As my wife Denise says, I can't believe they're the last team in, they're the last team standing. But anytime you watch a college baseball game, in the whether it's the regionals, super regionals, it seemed like something was going on, even if nothing was going on. And I think a lot of that was because of the fans, where you're rooting for your team, you're cheering for your team. One of my favorite traditions at the College World Series are the Texas A&M fans, that the pitcher, the opposing pitcher having problems, if he walked somebody, then the next ball would be a ball. Ball five, ball five, then ball six. It seemed like something was interesting going on that made you gravitate to see, okay, what's going to happen. The fans built a sense of urgency, but that shouldn't happen in Major League Baseball. And I don't know if there's anything they can do to have a sport that does not believe in an urgency because there's no clock when it comes to baseball.
You mentioned urgency, and it makes me think of going to the first MLS matchup in the new stadium in Nashville. I was mm-hmm. lucky enough to play in the national anthem for them, but as mm-hmm. I watched that whole game go down, just being at that match and seeing the way the crowd was absolutely in it, it felt different. It hit different. Like, I walked away from that. I remember texting Taylor Twellman right after, and I was like, I am now officially an MLS fan. Like, right. This is so much fun to experience. You mm-hmm. make a great point. It's about the crowd, and I don't know what you do when, you know, you've got a midday crowd that could or could not be big in a stadium that's meant to fill 40 or 50,000.
Mm-hmm. And if you're Major League Baseball, you have to hope that Aaron Judge is enough where he keeps hitting home runs every night that he becomes must-see TV. We'll see if that's going to be enough to keep fans staying a little bit longer in baseball.
Well, Canty and Carlin will be must-listen-to radio. Aaron Judge going to join them, along with the entire Yankees lineup. Thanks for hanging out with Freddie Coleman. I'm Jason Fitz, Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.